each morning as I like to listen to others and practice that song, Lift Up, and George Beverly Shea would sing that song as well. And so definitely don't sing it as well as he did. The message is still the same, that if we're truly saved and Jesus comes, then things are truly different. Things are changed forever. No, we no longer are we lost in our sin and misery, not knowing return, but Jesus brings it into our life. He is the light of the world. We sang that earlier, the light of the world is Jesus. And when he comes, all is different. And if you're not sure of if you're saved this morning, if things aren't different for you, maybe you prayed a prayer, but things have changed for you, you're still in your sin, we love to share with you what God says from his word about salvation. It's not about good works, not about being baptized, not about good church. Though it's good we come to church as Christians to be encouraged, amen, but it's not about what we can do, it's about what Jesus can do for us to save us this morning. Take your Bibles, turn to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13 this morning. We look at verses 5 and 6. And there are times we have to ask ourselves some hard questions. We know that we are to be content with what God has given us. We know that we're to covet after other things. We try our best to be content. However, the hard question is this. Do we really understand what it means to be content? This morning, we're going to build a biblical foundation for contentment. Why do we become discontented? Why do we look at things and we say, well, I really wish I had that. I really wish I had the life of this person over here. I really wish. Instead of being content with what God has given to us. And we live in a country and we live in a day, and we've always lived in a day, by the way, where discontentment is rampant. You can't look very far in the Bible before you see some who were discontented with what God had done for them. Maybe the most infamous example that comes to mind is the children of Israel. After they were brought out of the bondage of Egypt, they became discontented with what God was doing for them, what God had done for them. And they blasphemed and even threw it back in the face of God, what they had done for them. As Christians, we never do that. However, the temptation of discontentment and the devil sows the seeds of discontent every single day in our life. And this morning, we need to know the biblical foundation for contentment is, how we can have true contentment in Christ. If we could all stand out of respect for the reading of the Word of God and a message entitled, Are We Really Content? Are We Really Content? Hebrews chapter 13, we'll read two verses this morning, verses 5 and 6. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as he hath. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. And if we read verse number 5 together out loud once again, verse number 5 of Hebrews chapter 13, let's begin. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Let us pray together. Dearly Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you that we can be content in what you have provided for us. And I pray, dear Lord, if there's any that are struggling with this area of contentment, maybe they have been overcome with covetousness. And Lord, we all confess that we have been at times tempted to covet. We have been tempted to be discontented. And Lord, I pray that we would not be discontent this morning, but be content with what you have in store for us and what you have provided. Lord, the wonderful promise given here, you will never leave us or forsake us. I pray that we would see that as a reality and that we would be living contented in our Christian life. Lord, speak to our hearts. Encourage us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Be seated. Are we really content? And that's a hard question for us to ask ourselves. Are we really content? I think a lot of us try the best way that we know how to be content. But do we know how to biblically be content? And, you know, maybe sometimes people have come to me as a pastor, you know, this thing's going on in my life. Or I'm really trying to be content as a young person. So I'm really trying to be content with where I am right now. But it's so hard. I want these things in my life, and I'm just not content where I am. And maybe it's you this morning. Well, I don't have an answer. God has an answer for you from his word this morning. But let's look at what a definition of contentment is. Contentment is not just a temporary respite from wanting something. Well, contented means I got what I want, so I am content. Contentment in Christ means something different than we would think. Now, we'll look at a dictionary definition here. We look from the Webster's Dictionary. Rest or quietness of the mind in the present condition. Meaning that you're okay and you're at peace with where you are right now, what you have right now, what you're doing right now. You're quietly and in peace. You're content. Satisfaction which holds the mind peace, restraining complaint. Opposition or further desire, and often implying a moderate degree of happiness. So, contentment is also not just the absence of complaining, because we know there's always times when we can stop complaining, but a peace and a kindness in our heart and our spirit that we are content with what we have in God. Now, let's look at a Bible definition in this verse. Verse 5 gives us a definition of what contentment is. Now, we see here in part of the verse, let your conversation, meaning lifestyle, be without covetousness. So we know one thing about contentment, it's the opposite of covetous. Covetous means having, also it's called an inordinate desire in the Bible. Having a desire for something that's not yours, and that God has not given to you. So when we start coveting after something, we know it's one of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. So that you be content with the wife you have. Don't covet somebody else's spouse over there. Don't covet somebody else's man or woman. You should be content with what you have. And the proverb says, drink out of your own cistern to be content with what you have. But we see that contentment is the opposite of covetousness. Also, it is accepting the things that we have. Look at the second part here, verse 5. But be content with such things as ye have. Doesn't say had or will have. What you have right now. Some people can be discontented in two ways. Because they want something that they don't have, or they want something that they used to have and they don't have now. And so maybe they had a better paying job. They had a better situation. They want something. They're not content with where they are right now. So how do we fix this? Well, we must understand some things to fix the problem of contentment. Why should we be content? So this morning, discontent, not to fix a problem of contentment. Contentment is not a problem. Discontent is a problem. And so how do we fix that? Well, we have to look at some things this morning. First we're going to look at is God's provision. When we begin to be discontented, we understand what we're being discontent with. Now, it's very normal for a lost person, for the world and the flesh, to be discontented. Here's why. The key to be content lies in the fact of God's provision for his children. Now, see in the last part of verse number 5, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. The provision of God for his children, for Christians, remember, we are all created by God, but we are not all his children. We are not all saved people. We are not all up in the family of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. Brother Webb brought that out this week. Some people say, oh, we're all God's children, are we? No, we're not. God's children are those who have trusted in Jesus Christ for salvation, who are born again. Those are the true children of God. We're all created by God. There's the kinship of man. But we're not all born saved. We're not all born into the family of God. We must be born again, according to Jesus, taught to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, that we must be born again. We're just saying that hymn. Ye must be born again to be the child of God. And how does the child of God have contentment? Look at Joshua chapter 1 and verse number 5. We see a promise that's given to every person throughout all the ages, and that Joshua was repeating to Israel, that because they did this repeated a lot, especially if you become discontented easily, there needs to be some verses that you memorize. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 is one. Here is another, Joshua chapter 1, verse number 5. And we see it as a promise. And we see that David repeats it to Solomon in the Psalms. In 2 Kings there. 2 Samuel, Joshua chapter 1, verse 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. This was the promise to Israel. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And the promise is still the same in the New Testament. I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. So if God will never leave us or forsake us, we can forsake him. We can walk in the opposite direction of him. then God will provide our every need. The reason why we become discontented is when our thinking becomes skewed. And it becomes this. I want to get other things instead of what I have provided myself. We become discontented. I'm discontented with what I have. I need a new car. I need a new this. I need a new person in my life. I need new this or new that. I don't like the job that I have. I don't like the direction God's going. I don't like the church I'm in. All of these things, we become discontented when we begin to see things in the way of, look at what I have provided myself. Instead, this is what the reality is. God has provided everything I need. And all things are His. Everything that we have is His. Amen? There was not anything made that was made, and by Him all things consist. Jesus Christ is our, this to be our be all and end all, the all and all. He has the preeminence, meaning first of all, and that if we are God's children, God is going to provide for us. The major difference in this thinking is the need of contentment. If we think, look at all that I can get, you're going to be discontented because that's what the world does. If you look at all this is the things that I have, I'm discontented with what I have. I'm discontented with my spouse. I'm discontented with my kids. I'm discontented with my job. I'm discontented with my church. I'm discontented with the car I have. And I'm discontented with everything. You're no better than a lost person. Because that's what the world does. Isn't that what they do? They seek after. Now, why do you think these dealerships make so much money selling cars? Right? They traded in 2016, got to get to 2017. Well, now 2018 model, when there was nothing wrong with the 2012 model, right? You know, that's what happens, and it's driven thing. And we got to keep up with people next door. We got to keep up the image. We got to keep up all of the things. God, if you're saved. And our thinking goes back to, God will provide my every need. Not wants, need. But if we're walking with Him, there is a promise that even if there's some things that we want, He'll provide for it. But the things that we want, we're not going to want a Ferrari. We're going to want to see more people saved. Lord, we would love to see more people saved. I would love if you could do this in my family's life. And He will do it if we're walking with Him. Amen? And because when we're walking with God, we're going to want things that God wants for us. Amen? And we're going to be asking those things of Him. He will never fail us or forsake us. And when we think that we are the provider, and it's up to us to get everything that we can in this life, that sets us up for a very discontented and miserable life. And that's humanism. That's man is the be-all and end-all of everything. And this is a flesh-run life, but God provides all that we need. It's a pastor, we know that. Look at Psalm 37:25. Promise of God. Psalm 37:25. I'm just praising the Lord that I sang before I started preaching because I'm losing my voice. Psalm 37, verse 5. It's a pastor. Does that mean there's no message tonight? No, I'll just turn my mic up louder tonight. That's all. Psalm 37, verse 25. We're finishing up our series in 1 Corinthians, by the way, tonight. So don't miss that. 6 o'clock tonight. We're doing chapter 16. Psalm 37, 25. I am young and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. And so that all Christians everywhere, we're going to be have their needs provided. Now, there's an important distinction here. The righteous, those that are doing right, those that are living right, those that are walking with God, never lack what they need. You know, many times we get ourselves in over our heads. I think we all figured that out. There are times we get ourselves in over our heads in things, whether financially or work-wise or whatever it may be. And you know what? We're not walking with God. We're going to make decisions, and we're going to get over our head. And we're going to lack things that we need. And so, don't go to God and say, Lord, I need you to provide my need when you're $50,000 in debt. Don't go to God and ask to help you with that. That's on you. Because, here's why. We were contented with what He had already given us. So we decided, we're going to borrow it. Borrow money. And by the way, don't borrow money. You pay someone to borrow money. It's never free. You know, I have all these advertisements. You know, whenever your credit score is up there, you know what's going to happen, young people? You're going to get a bunch of things in the mail, and they're going to say 0% APR, right? And for a whole 2 years, you're not going to pay any interest. Trust me, you pay something in the end. Don't worry, nothing's free. So that's the source of, I think, the average person that graduates from college in America today is $60,000 to $70,000 in debt with student loans. That's unbelievable to me. I mean, this is mortgage payment, people. This is just, and they pay it all the way up, and they can't find jobs that they can't find jobs that pay them enough to make the payment, and they have to go bankrupt. I've known several young people that they wanted to serve God and go out into ministry, and they went to college and they put it on a student loan, and they can't serve God effectively because they have this payment hanging over. They got it. They're on trying to go on missions for it and do different things like that. They got the school payment hanging over. You know what? God always provides for your needs. I can tell you testimony after testimony after testimony after testimony after testimony of young people that have gone to college. It was God's will, and God provided every single cent they need to go to college. They didn't need a student loan. They didn't need to go $50,000 in debt. Thankfully, most Christian colleges don't cost that much. Now, if you go to Bob Jones, you get that much. But most places don't cost that much. But still, God provides our needs, every need that we have, because our life is given to us by God. Our very breath. We need air. He gives it to us. Amen. Our physical needs, our spiritual need of salvation, He gives us the gift of salvation. Our emotional needs, every possible need that we have, God takes care of. So when we file this away, we say, okay, God provides everything that I need. So if God hasn't provided it, then I don't need it. Amen? Or I need to ask God for it. If we have a need, God delivers on time. Sometimes at the last possible moment. But we need to remember God provides. So that's, we see God's vision. Okay, we understand that, Pastor. Now we look at man's problem. Here's man's problem. Every single person has this problem. The temptation to rely upon themselves in everything that we do. We cannot just think of contentment in relation to material things. Because that's made that, well, I'm content self when I have this. No, contentment is in every area of life. There is much more to life than money and things. And amen, Pastor, there's much more to that. There's a spiritual. But man's problem is self-reliance. Man can take care of himself. Man takes his own way in life. Man can get and discard things that he wishes, including people. It is a never-end quest for more and more. It says of things, money, position, fame, glory, whatever it is. And that's the lust of flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And this is the typical attitude of the world and those who are without Christ. As a pastor, we're not like that. However, there is a Christian version of this lack of contentment. And that Christians can fall into this temptation. As a pastor, you know, why do I want more money, more this or that? Well, we got to be careful that I don't fall into this. That we lack contentment with what God has already given us. That we lack contentment that, you know, maybe God has given us hard, it's old, it gets us to work, it does what it needs to do. I wish I could have a better image and look at this over here. I wish that I could have a better situation over here. I really wish, I wish, I wish. And when we say, I wish, wish, I wish, we can fall into the trap of discontentment. We can fall into, well, God has given us something. We need to be thankful for it and content with it. With also what many times we think, but we don't, are we content with what God has not given us? Those first part of verse 5 of Hebrews 13, it said, we're not to be, what? Covetous. Put away covetousness, not to have be covetous. Covetous is wanting something that we don't have. God hasn't given it to us. And there's a reason for that. You know, we look at things and look at people and we look at situations. We look at a job situation. I wish I had the job they had. I wish it may have an uneasy issue. I wish I had that. Or I wish I had the position that person had over here in the church. I wish I was a Sunday school teacher. I wish I was a children's church teacher. I wish I was a pastor. I don't know if anybody thinks that, probably not. But trust me, you don't want to wish that. It's okay. But it's a wonderful thing to do for the Lord. But most people, they look at the position of it. There's a lot of work that goes into it. But I wouldn't have it any other way. Praise God. I love being a pastor. But we look at these things. I wish I had this or that. I wish. I want that. And you covet after something. And you know what? Some people get called into the ministry called that way. I want to be the head honcho. I want to run a church. That's why I'm in the ministry. Not the reason you go to ministry. I want to go around. I want to be an evangelist. I want to win thousands to Christ for everyone else my name. Hey, when they say Moses, hey, they won thousands of people to Christ. Not the reason you become an evangelist. Not the reason. Well, I want to go over and be a missionary and do something else somebody else couldn't do. And I'm going to go over there. I'm going to make a big name for myself over and oversee. Not a reason you become a missionary. But because God tells you to do it. You do it to bring glory to God, not yourself. If no one even knows your name, that's okay. But we can become covetous after things. You know what the phrase in America is, keeping up with the Joneses? I think there's probably a version of it in every country around the world. Keeping up with somebody next door, keeping up with some status, you know. It's always interesting you have those family members or friends that when you get something new, they get the same thing 2 weeks later. You know, you upgrade your phone. They upgrade their phone. You know, you got a new hairdo. Oh, they have the same hairdo. You know, you buy, oh, I got to get something new too. Right? What's wrong with those people? They're discontented. Well, God is in them. They must keep up the status. You know what? That's a very hollow life to live, just keeping up the Christian status. We must make sure that we're content with what God has given us. Also, what God has not given us. Also, what is the one area that many Christian, especially young people, get discontented with God? God's timing. God's timing. They want it now. Sorry, God is not the fast food short order cook. God has his perfect time and his perfect place and his perfect will. And we must contend, well, I want it now, God. And God said, no, not right now. And instead of grumbling, blaming God, and we look at ourselves, what did I do? No, you stress me, say, okay, Lord, content with the timing of God. There are things in our life that we must be content with God's timing. And there are times of trial, there are times of hardship, but we must be trusting in God for his timing. Also, some people become discontented with the will of God. God, why did you have me live here? God, why did you have me doing this? God, why did you have me marry so-and-so? God, why did you give me these kids? Why am I in this situation? The will of God. Why did you bring me down this road, God? It stinks. There are times in our life, but we should be content with the will of God. We should be content with what God is doing in our life. And when we get to this place, really what's going on is we want to make our own way that we think we can do it better. Just keep something in mind. You can never do better than God. He'll never fail us and never forsake us. He'll always will do what's best. Every single time. That can happen to any Christian at any time. That we become discontented with what God has done for us. Here's God's solution. When we look at God's provision and man's problem, we can see how God can fix problems. When we become discontented as a Christian, we are not discontented with just anything. We are discontent with God. We are discontent with God's provision. Why? We want our way. We want our way. The solution from God's word is found in 1 John chapter 2. Look over there. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 17. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 17. How do we come to this place of contentment? You'll never be content if you're not submitted to God. If you have not mortified the flesh and its deeds with its affection and lust, you'll never be content. But if you're walking with God and daily coming to that place of surrender, daily coming to God, 1 John 2:17 tells us this, and the world passeth away and lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So if we're doing the will of God, that will remain. But the lust and everything and discontentment, it comes and goes. But if we mortify the flesh with deeds, we submit ourselves to God's will. When we change our outlook from what we want, what God wants, contentment becomes much easier when our desires are God's desires. That we lay down our will, our desires, our wants, they all do not matter. If we simply mortify our flesh, as Romans 8:13 tells us, then these wants do not matter. When we submit to Christ, then we have the true contentment in what God has done for us. Remember, we don't deserve anything that God has given to us. We don't deserve salvation. We don't deserve the family we have. We don't deserve money we have. We don't deserve the job that we have. We don't have the vehicle that we have. We don't deserve the path and the will that God and the direction God has given to us. We don't deserve any of it. But we should be content with what God has given. One we should not be content with is backsliding. We should never be content with sin. We should never be content to do that. That's easy. That's natural for us to do that. But being content in Christ, abiding in him, let's follow the command of Scripture. Looking once again at Hebrews 13, verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness. Don't have a covetous lifestyle, always seeking after something. And be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. So if we're living a contented life, If we're living content in what God has provided for us, then verse 6 comes true of us. Now we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. The Lord is my provider. The Lord provides every need that I have. The Lord gives all that I need. I don't need anything else. He is my helper. He is my savior. He is my provider. I don't care what other people say or think. I'm going to serve God because of all he has done for me. What has God done to you this morning? If we just take a moment and think about it. Whenever you become discontent, just think about all that God, just maybe write down what God has done for you. And very soon, we have nothing to be discontented about. Discontent comes right from the devil and the flesh and sin. And we must lay it down and say, no, that's, I don't have no reason to be discontent. Whenever that feeling of discontent creeps up in your heart, is I have no reason to be discontent. I have no excuse to be discontent. Maybe you're discontent and say, well, I'm just discontent with everything. But ask a question. Have you ever accepted Christ as Savior? If you're discontented with it and have a lack of peace in your life, many lost people are discontented with what is going on in their life, discontented with their condition of their heart, but they don't know how to fix it. God can fix that. They need salvation. They need forgiveness of sin. They need cleansing from sin. And maybe there's one here this morning that you have never accepted Christ as Savior. Maybe you pray the rosary or other rituals, whatever it may be, but you've never called upon Jesus Christ directly to save you from sin. Realize that your sin will send you to a real place called hell. The worm hath not, where the fire is not quenched. Place where all reserved for the devil and his angels, but because man's sin must be punished. But Jesus Christ loved us so much that he died on the cross to save us from our sin. Shed his blood, suffered and died, and rose again the third day so that we might have eternal life. There's no other name among men whereby we must be saved. It's the name of Jesus Christ. And maybe you've never been saved this morning. Maybe you prayed a prayer. Maybe you were sprinkled or baptized. You say, well, that saved me. It didn't. It's not of works that a man should boast. But you can come to Christ this morning. You can bow your head in humble prayer. It's not my prayer that saves you. It's not the prayer of anyone. It's prayer of the true and repentant heart to Jesus Christ. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can be saved this morning. And then you can have the riches and blessings of Christ, have the peace passeth all understanding, then you can truly know what it is to be content. So this morning, maybe you're a Christian and you're discontent. You're discontent with where God has you, what he has you doing, where he has you going. We need to repent of that. That's sin. We covet after, and what do we do? When we become discontent with what we have, we begin to look at other people's path and other people's lives, and the devil makes other people's lives that are leading in sin, they make it look so good. Make it look so fun. Make it look like, oh, look at all they're doing. They're doing all of this, and they're getting away with it too. Oh, trust me, no one ever gets away with anything with God. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Don't deceive. That's a deception. God is not mocked. And those people aren't happy. They are miserable. And they're looking for something. They're looking for what you have, Christ. They're looking for that. They're not looking for what they have. They just continue on in their pattern because that's all they know. We know we have the truth, and we can be content in Christ. We have come to him for that.